everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're glad you've joined us.
That's right. It's the weekend again,
Yay!
And it's good to be with you, Dr. Linda. And of course, if you're listening to the program, we're glad to have you along as well. And we've got a great show today on relationships and being happy. Now, we know that you don't always feel happy in a relationship, but there are things you can do to make your relationship happier.
That's right. You can do some things. And that's why our show title is kind of a mouthful here.
It is.
It's just things you can do.
Seven things you can do.
To contribute to a happy relationship. Now, that's probably not a good marketing title. But you're not always going to feel happy in a relationship. And that would be unrealistic, right? To have that expectation. And maybe an expectation that gets some people in trouble because they think maybe they're always supposed to be happy. And then when they're not, they think something is terribly wrong with the relationship.
Right. Now, our culture is big on feeling happy. And if you aren't happy, the message is get out and find someone who makes you happy because you deserve to be happy.
That deserve is a big part of it, right?
Right.
I'm not sure what the basis for that belief is. I know it's not biblical.
Right. Exactly.
Right? We know there are times in life and in the life of every relationship that you just don't feel happy. Sometimes you don't even really like your partner very much.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that's fleeting. It doesn't last. But that doesn't mean you give up on the relationship. Rather, that you look for the root of the unhappiness and then you try to fix it. Other times you might need to accept somebody for who they are. Other people don't solve your happiness problem. That is a big message today. Other people don't solve your happiness problem.
That's right. Looking to the other person to make you happy all the time is not in step with taking marital vows and forming a covenant. The idea of a covenant is that you stay with the person through thick and thin. That means there will be times of feeling unhappy.
Do you think our culture gets that?
No, of course not.
I know. It just seems like when people aren't happy, then they medicate with substances to not feel.
Well, you see people who are married, you know, a year, 2 years, then they divorce, or they've been married about six times.
Well, life happens, and there's stress, and there's difficulty, and you and your partner do not have to be, though, the cause of that stress and difficulty. That's our message. If you have the right attitude and you have a realistic expectation. So instead, you can be the ones who help each other get through that difficult time and stay by your partner's side. There's a lot a person can do to make a relationship stay positive and be supportive. So today, we want to focus, Chris, on a few things that you can do to help create a happier relationship.
Well, you and Dr. Norm have been married a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, we won't say how long. That makes us really old. We are really old.
Well, did you ever think that marriage should always be happy? Because you hear a lot of people say this, and then they start to think that there is someone possibly better for them, someone who understands them better and will make them happy.
You know, I think I had the benefit of watching my parents, who were married for 67 years, and his parents were also either 66 or 67 before his mom died. They were not always happy with each other. Mine weren't. I can't speak for his household. There were times when they were unhappy with each other, and in fact, there was some fighting. Never anything really awful.
Right.
I really feel kind of blessed in the household I grew up in because they worked things out and they stayed together and they never thought, because I'm unhappy, I'm going to leave this person.
How much do you think the focus on self-centeredness impacts marriages today? It seems like the generation before us that you were just talking about understood the importance of self-sacrifice and accommodation much better than we do.
Yeah, I think self-centeredness is a really good thing to think about how it relates to this business of happiness. You know, early on in a marriage, when you're working through how to be with another person, it's easy to be disappointed if you have this really self-centered mindset. If you think it's all about me and what the other person can do with me, then you're right. It's going to be a problem. But if you have acceptance and, here's a key word, accommodation of the other person as well, they don't think like you all the time, they don't act like you all the time. You cannot stay in a self-centered place and have a good marriage and expect that marriage to work. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, you said something that sort of makes sense. When it's all about me, that's when serious trouble starts.
And this idea that you have to sacrifice a little bit to be with another person.
Right. There are a ton of self-help and motivational books on marriage. And Dr. Linda, you've written one.
I have. I have one on marriage.
One.
Yeah.
I read it too.
Did you?
It's called I Married You, Not Your Family, and 9 Other Marriage Myths That Will Ruin Your Marriage. And you are trained and licensed as a marriage therapist, which is why we want you to weigh in, of course, on your own program.
Thank you.
Yeah,
on this, just talk to yourself, Chris, and have a good time.
We want you to weigh in on the happiness piece in marriage.
And I like the direction we're going to take with this show, because we're going to talk about what you can do, not what your partner should be doing, right? So the focus is going to be on us. What can we do to make things a little bit better?
Well, that's no fun.
I'd rather blame people. We all would rather blame.
Right.
Well, listen, I came across this blog by someone named Eric Barker, and he wrote a book about success. It wasn't exclusively about marriage. Mm-hmm. But there was a chapter a little bit in the book about successful marriages. And I thought we could examine some of his scientific findings. Should I use the word neuroscience? I don't know if it's in there. There it is, neuroscience. You got to listen to our other shows to know what that means. About what makes a relationship happy, and we're going to identify 7 factors that he talks about in marriage.
Barker begins by pointing out that everyone in a marriage makes mistakes and isn't perfect. That may seem obvious, but how you think about your partner making mistakes and their imperfections really matters.
So there are a number of studies that show that you have to learn to accept your partner despite the imperfections. I know we know that in our head, but when it happens, we just react.
Right.
And if you long for them to be somebody that they're not, then that's going to be really dangerous. So if you're in a marriage and thinking, you know, if they just would do this, if they just would get better with this, if they just be kinder, it's going to be a bad road.
So let me get this straight. I have to accept the fact that Sharon doesn't make eggs and bacon every morning for breakfast.
She doesn't do that?
No.
So we could laugh about that, and that would be okay. But listen, if you really did expect her to do that,
right,
and became secretly angry and then sulked about the fact that she doesn't serve your every fantasy, it would turn out to be a problem. So if your expectation was that she should serve breakfast as a sign of caring for you, for example, it would set you up to be disappointed. But if you thought, I saw somebody do this once in a movie. That'd be really nice. But hey, we have 3 kids and it's not realistic. Now that perspective would change how you feel about her.
So when your partner disappoints you by not doing something more important than, of course, serving breakfast, do you apply the same type of thinking?
Yeah, because you know and you believe that they're a good person and you know that they're somebody that you love and care about. So when you're thinking good things about your spouse, it's easier to forgive their mistakes. It's easier to deal with a disappointment. So you're not motivated by something external. Your love, your good feelings about the person don't depend on them being perfect. So let me give you another example. Let's say that you're coming home late and Sharon had dinner ready and the kids were waiting. I know that's real traditional sounding, but let's just use that example.
Got it.
If Sharon generally thinks of you as a good person with good intentions, then she's going to think, oh, there must have been traffic. Maybe his boss called him in late. But if she's looking for reasons to confirm her negative thoughts about you because she's unhappy with you and doesn't think you're a good person, she might think you were late because you're inconsiderate. You don't think about her waiting on dinner with the kids, and she's going to be ticked.
Right. Well, here's another example. What if you just forgot to pick up the dry cleaning after work? Of course, I would never forget to do anything like that myself.
I've never forgotten that in my whole life, right? Yeah. A partner who is looking to be negative about you might think, oh, you forgot the dry cleaning because you're self-centered. It's all about Chris and what Chris wants to do. But if her overall thoughts about you are positive and you just forgot and she just thinks, oh, he made an honest mistake, maybe he was distracted, just forgot. So stay happy. You don't attribute negative motives to your partner.
So the way you feel overall about your spouse, it really colors how you interpret their behavior.
That's right. That's exactly right. We've talked about this before in one of our shows. We called it negative override, which means that you constantly think that what the person is doing has some negative motive behind it because you have this overall feeling about the person that you think is negative. And that creates a lot of unhappiness between couples. But if you're confident about your partner and you think they're a decent person and you think that they're trying to be a good partner, you cut them some slack and you attribute positive motives to their slip-ups.
Wouldn't we call that giving grace?
We would. We would, because we think they're trying to do the right thing and they're trying to live their life with integrity, or they're trying to guide their actions according to biblical principles. You know, we don't always get it right as a partner. We have to apologize sometimes. But when you give your partner the benefit of the doubt and you truly believe that they're trying, you continue to see them in a positive light. And that's important to keep that positivity going.
It is so easy to think about negative instead of positive. We've talked about this before on some other shows. I think that's the self-centered nature in all of us.
And that's what gets couples in trouble. They might be personally unhappy, and so they're looking for things in their partner, you know, that could help with that unhappiness. Then it's not about me, right? It's about them. And
right.
That's where the blame game comes. I can't be happy with him because he does fill in the blank. Or she makes me unhappy because she does. So if you allow your partner to be the source of your unhappiness, they will let you down time and again, because we all have problems. We all need to work on being better people. We all fall short. So when your partner falls short of your expectations, cut him or her some slack and stay positive about the person, or you will slowly erode your relationship.
Would you say this is the source behind a lot of divorce?
I think it is, because you develop what John Gottman called that negative override, and that leads you to see the person always in a negative lens. And then you just gather data to say, this person's not a good person, and I want out.
Well, don't leave us now, because we're just getting started. Much more to come on what you can do to make your relationship happier after the break on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Anger happens. It's part of being human, but it does not need to control or even ruin your life. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, with a quick prescription to help you break free from anger. Whether you are seriously out of control, hot-tempered, or just easily annoyed, why not try this biblical strategy to conquer those destructive reactions? A good place to begin is to admit you have an anger problem, and then begin the tough work of finding the root of your anger. The next step is to identify the triggers, you know, the cues that set you off. Your trigger might be other people or situations, or even certain thoughts that pop into your mind. Next, calm down. It's like pressing pause on the moment. Take a breath. Count to five in Spanish or maybe some other language. Get your thinking brain back into control. And then finally, create a reaction plan. So in advance, think about ways to combat those familiar angry feelings. And then practice, practice, practice your plan. With God's help, you can break free from anger.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And today's topic is 7 things you can do to contribute to a happy relationship.
Say that real fast 3 times.
Oh, well, what a mouthful.
It's a long title.
Well, we have a lot more to talk about. But before we move on, I want to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. There you'll find her blogs, books, and you can connect on social media. And listen to the podcast on iTunes. And, as if that weren't enough, check out Dr. Linda's latest book. It's called Living Beyond Pain.
We got a lot for people to take advantage of.
Yes. Well, Dr. Linda, in the first segment, we were talking about author Eric Barker. And this second point that Barker makes about happy relationships is interesting, because he says that if you begin to think your partner is someone who you are not meant to be with, the relationship goes negative.
This is that idea of soulmate. You know, have you heard people say that?
Right.
So, you know, again, if we believe, and you mentioned this in the first segment, that we're in a covenant marriage in which we chose this person, we made an unbreakable promise, then we need to have a growth mindset about that relationship. Mm. All that means, Chris, is that we don't bail in times of trouble and start thinking, oh, this person isn't my soulmate or isn't for me. Instead, we try to work on the problems and we try to grow together.
So when conflict comes up, which in a marriage it always will, you look at it as an opportunity to grow, not a sign of you need to bail out.
Right. And it's growth. You're looking at it as growth, not avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
So many people think that conflict just indicates that we're incompatible, rather than seeing this as a chance for people to grow. I think that's really an important shift to make. That can really strengthen a marriage.
Mm. So you're not saying to deny problems, but deal with them. And you wrote a book on this. It's called We Need to Talk. And it helps couples navigate conflict.
I wrote that book because I saw handling conflict as such a critical couple and family issue. You don't have a happy marriage by sticking your head in the sand or saying to yourself, oh, this just shouldn't be happening to me. Where does that take you? The problem is happening. Now accept it and work on fixing it.
Or complain a lot. I know that doesn't help either.
Well, staying in denial and complaining are two key areas that will bring negativity to a relationship. So how's it going to go if you continue to complain about your partner? Are you going to feel and think great about them while you're always complaining about them? Complaining is what brings a person to that state of negativity we talked about.
Well, Barker's third point for success and happiness is that happy couples give thanks. What does he mean by that?
Well, he's just talking about how gratitude and giving thanks is a booster shot for marriages. When your partner does something thoughtful, and I'm sure that happens at least once in a while in every marriage, you feel gratitude. It elevates the quality of your relationship that day if you give gratitude for it. And when you feel elevated, it makes your relationship stronger and happier, and you're less likely to break up. There are studies that show that.
Seems like you have to notice and be mindful of the good things your partner does.
Yes, those studies say you have to take a little bit of time to think about, how is my partner investing in this relationship? And if you do that, if you think that thought, how are they invested in this? That's going to create a commitment to your marriage, and it's going to make you feel more positive. So, for example, if I think about all the spectacular meals that Norm cooks, and he is such a great cook, how he takes care of my car, how he helps me with chores, how he sees me as an equal partner, those kinds of thoughts, just thinking those thoughts, will boost my happiness with him. And if I'm grateful for the specific things he does and his attitude in doing them, and I tell him those things, it's going to really create happiness in our marriage.
So this is consistent with the verse in Philippians that tells us to think on good things. So should we take a few minutes every day and think about our gratitude for our spouse?
Yeah, maybe at bedtime, maybe at showering first thing in the morning. You know, think about how your partner has invested in your relationship, because that will make you feel happy. And it launches a cycle of what we call mutual gratitude, kindness, and commitment.
And one person can do this. You don't need an agreement on this one.
That's right. And that's good, because if one person feels gratitude and expresses it, the research shows that both partners will feel more satisfied with the relationship. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
So one person can make a big difference, and it helps also to prevent breakups.
So we need to go into number four. This one is to delight in your partner's good news.
So this is all about being supportive and to being curious and enthusiastic when your partner gets a promotion, gets a raise, maybe they have a good moment at work. It's providing support, not just in the tough times. So a lot of times we can be real supportive of our partner if something bad is happening.
Right.
But we're also talking about when something good happens, you delight in it. You go, wow, that's incredible. That's great. This is linked to positive emotions and mental health. And in relationships, it builds trust, it builds intimacy, and it also builds satisfaction.
So how do we do this on a regular basis?
You know, Norm and I actually do this every day, and it's not because I was doing this show, because we've been doing this for years. Every night we sit down when everything's done for the night, and we share the best things that have happened to us during the day.
Wow.
We do talk about some of the negatives, so I won't say we don't do that. But we listen, we ask questions, we celebrate those moments. That's it. That's all you have to do. Sit down and say, what great thing happened to you today at work?
That's easy enough.
Yeah.
So share the good moments and not complain about all the negative moments.
Right. And couples who practice this enthusiastically, they celebrate moments with their partner. They generate all these great feelings about each other, and they feel love towards each other. So this is really easy to do, and it has really big payoffs.
Hey, on that happy note, let's take another short break. And stay with us as we round out our list of seven things you can do to contribute to a happy marriage.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder, what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and Dr. Linda has written numerous books that you can find on her website and online. And you can check out her social media at drlindamental.com and her latest book, Living Beyond Pain. Okay, Dr. Linda, we're down to the last three contributors to a successful and happy marriage. Number five is happy couples openly share about their relationships with others.
Does that one surprise you a little bit?
It did, yes. That was
I had to think about that one when I read it. So there was a study that was done in which couples played a game and they had to self-disclose with another couple. Now, we're not talking about like really intimate details, mm-hmm. but something that was intimate enough in terms of friendship, you know, that type of thing. And the result was that doing this rekindled their romance.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Mm.
So sharing something good about your relationship with someone else makes you feel better about your relationship. I just think that if that's all you have to do is socialize and have fun.
That's great.
And talk about your partner, you know, in a good way.
Didn't
you used to do something like this, though, in your you were in a couples group in church?
We have found in our small group that just talking about life and sharing things that you've either accomplished or you're working on within your marriage with other couples, it's very helpful.
So this is the positive spin on that, Chris. This mm-hmm. is where you take a positive thing about your marriage and you share that with other couples. So think about how different that is than most church groups. We go in, we have these marriage groups, and then we're always talking about our problems.
Right.
But this is, hey, I want to tell you something positive. So really the thinking of this is that as I talk about my spouse to someone else, I'm creating positive feelings in my own self.
I can see how this would rekindle good feelings, like mm-hmm. you said. And if you share about good times and laugh, and it makes you feel good and realize you have experiences together that are just nice.
Yeah, and you're actually remembering good times.
Mm-hmm.
So there's power in sharing your stories of love, of friendship, of adventures with others. It does bring you closer to each other and present you as a couple to others.
So it might be a good idea to then double date.
Yeah, maybe you could do that. Go out with another couple. Now, Norm and I do that a lot, too.
Oh, yeah.
We go out with another couple. We laugh about things we've done, some of our mm-hmm. travels, some of the fun times. So I think that's a really good strategy.
Well, let's move on to number six. This one involves supportive friends. Happy couples have friends they can talk to.
One of the expectations that sometimes couples have, and I've heard this in therapy quite a bit, is that their partner needs to meet all of their emotional needs. Obviously, we want our partner to meet our needs, right? We want them to be somebody who does meet our needs.
Right.
But we also need friends, and we also need family. We need what researchers call a diversified social portfolio.
Ooh,
doesn't that sound important?
Sounds like a good financial investment.
Yes. Well, it's an investment in people.
Right.
And having other people in your life who can speak into your life, who can maybe talk you down on negative emotions. Maybe they can encourage you to do the right thing, be more attentive to your partner. I really see this as a huge benefit, and I really think we've lost this in this culture.
So it's okay to share things with other friends. You don't have to necessarily keep everything locked up within the marriage.
If you can trust that friend is going to encourage you to work it out with your spouse.
Right.
So you don't want to get into this overly emotional relationship with someone who's listening to you and your spouse is not.
Right.
So the family members who cheer you up when you're down, the people that walk alongside you and are encouraging you to really improve your relationship.
So it's the right kind of friends mm-hmm. can do this.
And they make you feel really better about your marriage. The effect, in fact, is so powerful that it actually prevents the decline in relationship well-being. So the message here is get good friends and don't expect your spouse to solve every single problem that you face.
You're right. That goes against some of what I've heard about marriage and how it should be the construct for all of your support, but that's not necessarily the case.
I just think it's a lot. I think it's a burden to think that, you know, there's everything I can do. There are times when Norm talks to one of his best guy friends,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure they say things that I'm not privy to, but it somehow boosts him, and it brings him back, and he's a better person in our relationship.
That's true.
I think that's positive.
Right. Well, as we near the end of the show, Dr. Linda, the last one is one we've talked about many times before, and that is that happy couples experience novel and exciting things together.
Now, we have talked about this one before because mm-hmm. we've talked about how neuroscience, there we go, that novelty does some really great things inside the brain.
Right.
And it really helps a relationship. So this one is one that you don't have to do crazy stuff. I don't think you have to go skydiving necessarily. Of course, that would terrify me if I was skydiving.
That
would not be a good one for me. But something that's really exciting that you can do that's different, if you're in a rut, if you're feeling unhappy or you're bored, just stop being boring and do something new and exciting with your partner. And this will not only improve your satisfaction with your partner, but the studies show, Chris, and here's the big payoff, it also improves your sex life.
Okay. So give us some examples.
You mean of novelty? Is that what you meant?
Please, yes.
Okay. So give me an example. Norm and I decided one time to take some friends up on their invitation to go camping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have never camped. Both of us don't camp.
Right.
So this is novel, right? So here was the good news. We both hated it. And we ended up in a hotel with a great dinner at the end of the night. But the fun that we built around the crazy story of us, you know, hating the camping part of it, we still laugh about it today.
Right. Mm.
Especially if we see somebody with a camper or something, we go, not doing that.
There they go.
You know, you can think of all kinds of stuff. We lived at a beach for a lot of years of our life, and something like going and learning how to shuck oysters together. That's novel. Taking a cooking class. We did that in Italy. That was really fun. Or taking an impromptu road trip, maybe a ballroom dancing class, anything that you've never done before that would help to increase and rev up those attraction hormones that are going on in the body.
You should decide on this together as a couple.
One of the things you could do is you could make a list. One person could make a list. Another person could make a list. And then it would be really fun to share the list and see if there's anything on those lists that you could do that would be really interesting to both of you. There was actually an experiment in which couples were assigned to do something from their list for 90 minutes for 10 weeks in a row. So they actually had the couples do this, pick something they could do together, 90 minutes, 10 weeks in a row. At the end of the 10 weeks, the couples were happier in their relationships compared to those who stayed in their routine. So here's the message. Novelty works, and it kicks the neurochemicals in your brain to wake up and to feel good.
Okay, I'm making a list, and I'm going to give this to Sharon. We're going to talk about some of this.
Well, we all want to learn and grow, and we all want to be stimulated in new ways and fun ways. Psychologists call this, I've got another big term for you, self-expansion theory. It's not neuroscience. I didn't say neuroscience. Self-expansion theory. So when you continue to do novel things, relationship satisfaction just goes up.
Okay. Well, Dr. Linda, as we close out our time, remind us again of the seven things that we can do that will contribute to a happy marriage.
All right. So let's just review them. Bad things are exceptions. Good things are the traits of your partner, the way you think about your partner. There's got to be grace for mistakes and imperfections. So have a growth mindset. Catch your spouse in positive things. Give thanks. Use self-disclosure in a positive way to talk about your relationship and get support. Have supportive friends who will improve your relationships and add novelty and exciting experiences. And of course, the one thing we didn't talk about but is foundational to keep in your relationship is keeping God centered and make God the center of your relationship. Now, get out there and create some happiness. All right, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.